This is a weekly summary of news about women and women's issues and from women's perspectives, which comes to you from the weekly Cheers and Jeers column of the Women's E! News. I'm Nancy Casey. Women's activists report both relief and grief coming out of the earthquake situation in Haiti. We are relieved to report that the staff and advisory board of the Lambi Fund of Haiti are safe. The co-founder of the fund, Josette Perard, was a Women's E! News 21 leader for the 21st century in 2006. The Lambi Fund helps poor women achieve economic independence. But there is also sad news to report from the Haitian earthquake in terms of women's rights leaders. The International Women's Movement is mourning four Haitian leaders who died in the quake. Myriam Mirlet was until recently the chief of staff of Haiti's Ministry for Gender and the Rights of Women, and she still served as a top advisor. She was also the founder of InfoFemmes, an organization that raises awareness about women through the media, collects stories, and works to honor their names. Magali Marcelin, a lawyer and actress who appeared in films and on stage, and who established CAI Femmes, a women's rights organization that deals with domestic violence and offers services and shelter to women and makes microcredits or loans available to women, also died in the quake. Also lost in the earthquake was Anne-Marie Corian. She served as a top advisor to the Women's Rights Ministry with Merlet. She was the founder of Solidarité Femmes Haïtiennes, Solidarity with Haitian Women, or SOFA. This is an advocacy and services organization which helped to bring the issue of rape to the forefront in the Haitian courts. Also killed in the quake was Myrna Narcisse, Director General of the Ministry of Women's Condition. There is news to cheer this week. For the first time in its 88 years of existence, Uganda's Makere University, East Africa's oldest university, has graduated more female students than males. This week, a total of 13,677 students are graduating from the university, and just over half of them are female. The best overall student this year is Emerician Mambambazi, who graduated with a bachelor's degree in construction management. Over the years, the Ugandan government, through its affirmative action program, has promoted women's access to higher education. We cheer a court in Abu Dhabi, which has jailed 13 Syrians for trafficking Moroccan women to the United Arab Emirates to work as prostitutes. Seven men were given life sentences, while five other men and one woman were jailed for 10 years each. According to court documents, the trafficked women, some as young as 19, were lured with the promise of well-paid work. We cheer France's leading newspaper, Le Monde, which appointed a woman as its executive, a first in its 65-year history. Sylvie Kaufmann, 55, a former deputy executive editor and most recently a Southeast Asia correspondent for the paper, has been with the paper since 1988. And we cheer a group of 30 Muslim leaders who have issued a religious edict banning female genital mutilation in the West African country of Mauritania. Sheikh Ould Zayn, head of the Forum of Islamic Thought, says that the scholars believe that the Quran does not endorse cutting young girls' genitals to limit their sexual activity as women. He also said that the leaders agreed to preach against this practice at their mosques. And now for some bad news. Feminist playwright and actress of Algerian origin, Rayana, was doused with gas and narrowly escaped being burned alive when the lit cigarette thrown at her by two assailants failed to ignite. The attack took place at a Paris theater as the 45-year-old actress was arriving to resume her role in a play about women in Algeria. The victim's family believes a link exists between the attack and the play's representation of the rise of Islamic fundamentalism. In the weeks leading up to the attack, the actress said that she had received threats and filed a complaint with the police. Ugandan women's organization united to condemn what they termed appalling and inhuman police brutality against peaceful female demonstrators outside the Electoral Commission offices. Several women from the cross-party organization Women for Peace clashed with police while demonstrating outside the commission's offices as they called for the resignation of the institute's chairman, Badru Kinguru. More than 35 were arrested and 27 were later charged with unlawful assembly. A lawyer representing the women said that the suspects were ordered to remove their clothing and were tortured by police. More bad news. An undercover study of Virginia crisis pregnancy clinics says that women are not receiving accurate medical information. The National Abortion Rights League found that 35 of 52 pregnancy counseling centers in the state were distributing inaccurate information on infertility, miscarriage, abortion, mental health, cancer, contraception, and sexually transmitted diseases. The misinformation included being told that abortions cause cancer and that when a doctor performs an abortion, he can accidentally take out a woman's intestines. The unlicensed facilities, often run by abortion rights opponents, receive some funding through the state's Choose Life license plates. The league says that 35 of the clinics do not have medically trained or supervised personnel on staff. Jeers to CBS for approving an anti-choice Super Bowl ad celebrated in far-right religious circles and produced by Focus on the Family. The Women's Media Center is crafting a campaign to address CBS's decision to air the ad and to protest the, quote, unprecedented attack on women's reproductive rights during one of the most-watched television events of the year, unquote. And finally, we wholeheartedly jeer newly elected Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown for introducing his two daughters in his victory speech by saying, yes, they are both available. He quickly corrected himself, however, saying that Ariana, age 19 and a pre-med student at Syracuse University, whose boyfriend was on stage, was actually not available, but that her sister, Ayla, was. His unscripted comments quickly drew fire even from conservatives upset that he offered his daughters on national TV. This week, we note that an advertisement for an Air New Zealand competition that portrays older single women as cougars who prey on young men at night is being pulled after incurring the wrath of both male and female rape victims in New Zealand. Cougar has become a popular term for sexually aggressive older women on the hunt for younger men, but the term can be viewed either as misogynistic or a word of empowerment. An online spoof documentary by Air New Zealand promoting a competition for free tickets to a rugby tournament tells of a so-called cougar starving herself during the day and then, quote, hunting large slabs of meat at night, unquote, by stalking young men at a bar. The voiceover says that despite men's attempts to ward off the women's advances, the cougar has, quote, not tasted fresh meat for days, unquote, and drags her victims to her inner city apartment, often forcing them to listen to Enya or the Eurythmics. We note that a study released January 19th by the Pew Research Center indicates that in 1 out of 5 married couples, the wife earns more than the husband. 40 years ago, that was the case in 1 out of 25 marriages. And finally, we note that a 60-page booklet called The Veil of Tears has been launched by the Integrated Regional Information Networks, or IRIN News, to showcase a coalition of personal stories of the loss and courage in childbirth as told by Afghan women, men, and children. The stories in this booklet were originally recorded in local languages, Dari and Pashto, for IRIN radio broadcasts from different parts of Afghanistan. They were transcribed in English for Veil of Tears. Afghanistan is one of the riskiest places in the world for a woman in pregnancy or childbirth. An Afghan woman is 225 times more likely to die in childbirth than a woman in the United Kingdom, for example. This report was compiled by the staff of the Women's E! News. Rita Henley-Jensen is the editor-in-chief. This audio production of Women's E! News was produced in the studios of KRFP in Moscow, Idaho, and brought to you by VP Foundation and Yin Radio, which you can find on the web at vpfound.org. Background music is by Joan Hickey. The text of this broadcast and more news about women can be found at the Women's E! News website, womensenews.org. For Yin Radio and KRFP, I'm Nancy Casey.